I'm going to tell you a story that I have told before, and I'm going to work real hard on not crying in it, and I promise that I'm going to work at that. And if I make enough jokes, I can maybe keep myself from crying, because it's a very important story to me. It's part of my testimony of how God has helped me. Of a moment in time in my life where God walked me and my family on a pathway that we didn't even know was there. I was in seminary, and my second year, I had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. Hear that? 2 and 1. We were dumb and young. Thankfully, we were young. We were both working a couple of jobs, just trying to make the ends meet, and I was going to school full time, and we were coming home from church on a Sunday, and we had just gotten paid, and so I had taken the checkbook and made a payment that needed to be made because it was late, and unbeknownst to me, Robin had taken the debit card, because those were new back then in the 80s, and we didn't really know how to use them very well, and she had taken the debit card and purchased some diapers and stuff that the kids needed. When we realized what we had both done on the way home from church that day, we realized that we had depleted all of our money. We had about $10 left in our savings account. Or not our savings, our checking account. We had $10 to our name, basically. And so we're driving, and we've figured this out. And we're like, okay, what do we do? Well, first thing we do, we hadn't even been grocery shopping that week. So we're doing a mental inventory of what we have in the kitchen. Well, we had some drumsticks in the freezer. I know we had some beans and some rice in the cabinet, a couple of cans of tuna fish. And we had some baby formula. So we were thinking about it. We thought, okay, we can make it. We can get through, but it's going to be tight, right? It's going to be really tight. So we get back from church, we go to our apartment, and we're in one of those old buildings, and it had a big row of metal mailboxes, right? The little key and get in. And in our number, there was an envelope. Told you. I pulled it out, had our name on the front. There was a note, and the note said, because he loves us, and it was $50. That was a miracle. There was something that happened. We have no idea. Nobody knew the pickle we had gotten ourselves into. Nobody knew. And beyond our wildest dreams, we knew none of our friends had $50. We were, sorry, I snorted. We were dirt poor. But somehow, some way, God made a path that we never knew existed. When we look at the book of Hebrews and this psalm, these stories of faith, God can make a way. No matter what our circumstances, no matter where we are in life, no matter who we are, no matter how big the obstacle in front of us looks, God can make a pathway that no one knows existed. You have to think to yourself, as the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, there had to be a few doubters when they're standing on the Red Sea and there's nothing but water in front and Egyptians in the back. God can make a path. It's really funny, too, because the very next line in that chapter in Hebrews talks about by faith, Rahab hid the spies in Jericho. Rahab, if you don't know, was a prostitute. But it was by faith that she hid the spies. I can't believe the spies set out that morning thinking, bet God leads us right to the brothel. And from the brothel, we're going to get safely home. I think that was exactly the plan. It was a path that no one knew existed. You know, we often think circumstances are huge because our vision is limited. We see short. God sees long, right? We can't see beyond the circumstance. God can. And it's through the limitless possibilities of God's grace that things like this happen, that pathways get made. Many of you have been Cumberland Presbyterians from the cradle. Some of you have come to the church as adults. Some of you don't even know what a Cumberland Presbyterian is, probably. This church, St. Timothy, is a member of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It began back in 1810. But then long about the 1860s, if for those of you who have a little fuzzy with your history, that would be right after the American Civil War. Long about the 1860s, there developed a bit of a problem in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church because African American ministers and ordained elders wanted to go to presbytery meetings. Unfortunately, our white brothers before us, and I say brothers mainly because they were brothers at that time, but there were a few sisters. So brothers and sisters, they told their African American colleagues that they could not come to the presbytery. Because of that, these African American ministers and elders asked permission to begin their own denomination. And they did. In 1874, the denomination was called the Colored Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It then became known as the Second Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and finally today is known as the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. Since 1874, we have worshiped side by side. We share the same confession of faith. We share the same constitution. We share the same directory of worship. We share the same book of rules and order. But we're separate. Because in 1874, white folks excluded the African American folks from being a part of their worship. For the better part of 40, if not more, years, people have been working to fix this problem. People have been looking for a pathway to embrace our African American brothers and sisters that we excluded so long ago. And this past June, our General Assembly and the General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church of America both passed a resolution developing a plan of union. Long words to mean we've decided we're no longer going to be separate, but we're going to be together. People who excluded one another from worship are now going to embrace one another. This will come to a vote. The way it works in the polity is the General Assembly makes the plan, and it has to be ratified by each of the presbyteries, which it will happen this year, God willing, and then we will, next summer, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church and the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America will cease to exist. They're not going to merge. They're going to become a new denomination. Seems kind of biblical, right? Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. We're going to decide together to put the exclusion behind us and embrace one another. This is a monumental thing happening in our denomination. Sadly, it's taken us 150 years to do it, but hey, we're slow learners. This is a miracle and a pathway that many people, and I don't lie when I say over 40 years of work has gone into this. Many people who worked hard at this will not see it happen. But it will happen by God's grace. And that's exciting to be a part of a denomination that, hey, we may be a little behind, but we're going to get there. There's a struggle. And I'm excited that we are a part of that. But there's another thing that's happening in our denomination, which you need to know about as well. 2 years ago in our General Assembly, 2018, there was a resolution brought forward that would exclude people from membership in church and exclude them from the possibility of being ordained as an elder or as a minister of word and sacrament. This resolution had to do with whether they were gay or straight, had to do with whether their human sexuality. And it wanted to exclude gay and lesbian folks from leadership. Our denomination at the General Assembly level doesn't control who gets ordained. Just so you guys know, politics, your local church and your local session and your local presbytery are who ordains elders and ministers. Those rules are decided at the local level right now. But this was something that was put forward in order to change that and make it be a national issue and that covered all churches. I bring this up because it is one of the most divisive issues of our day. Many of you have seen what has happened in other denominations, what it has done to churches and families, what it's done to just our culture in general. It can be a very divisive issue. Right now, in 2018, what happened was the resolution was put on hold and was given to a committee to study. And that committee came back with a response that we needed more study. So for the last year and a half, there have been groups of people within our denomination who have been charged with studying this issue, bringing it up, talking about it. Currently, some of you may have received emails, but there are forums and meetings being held at various locations across the country to listen to what people believe, don't believe, think about this issue. I bring this up because it's divisive. I bring it up because you, as the people of God, we have to learn how to talk about difficult issues as Christians. We have to be able to talk to each other when we disagree, or we think we disagree, or we're scared we're going to disagree. We have to learn how to communicate about these things. So, because of the greater issue in our, or the issue in the greater church, our session wants us to talk about this too, as the people of God. So, this afternoon in our 4 p.m. service, there will be a bit of an open forum on this for you to ask questions and talk if you're interested about what's happening in detail. But in general, this is a big big wall. And it's going to be faced. We can't ignore it. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. We've watched what it does in other denominations. We have to learn how to talk with one another, and we have to learn how to be in fellowship together. Now, that's a lot to digest, but I bring it forward with this one image I want to leave in your mind. God can always make a pathway even when we didn't know it existed. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.